Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 9, The Appearance of the Demon Vritrasura, Text Number 48. Kim durapamayi prite tatapi vibhudarshabhya mayeka matira nanyan Mato vanchati tatpavit. Kim, what? Durapam, difficult to obtain. Mayi, when I. Prite, satisfied. Tatapi, still. Vibhuta Rishabha. O best of the intelligent demigods, mayi, in me, ekanta, exclusively fixed, mati, whose attention, na anyat, not anything other, mata, than me, vanchati, desires, Tatvavit, one who knows the truth. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O best of the intelligent demigods, although it is true that nothing is difficult for one to obtain when I am pleased with him, pure devotee, whose mind is exclusively fixed upon me, does not ask for anything for the opportunity to engage in devotional service. Purport. When the demigods finished offering their prayers, they anxiously waited for their enemy, Vritrasura, to be killed. This means that the demigods are not pure devotees. Although, without difficulty, one can get anything he desires, if the Lord is pleased, the demigods aspire for material profit by pleasing the Lord. The Lord wanted the demigods to pray for unalloyed devotional service, but instead they prayed for an opportunity to kill their enemy. This is the difference between a pure devotee and a devotee on the material platform. Indirectly, the Lord regretted that the demigods did not ask for pure devotional service. It's not surprising that the demigods didn't ask for pure devotional service. After all, to become a demigod means that you must have performed some kind of devotional service in the past, but for material objectives. Therefore, if one winds up in a very opulent position, such as the demigods, then naturally the desire is to enjoy the position. You don't work hard for something. You work hard to get a big boat, so you can enjoy it in the sea, and as soon as you get the big boat, you just throw it away, you give it to someone else. That would be quite renounced. Generally, people work hard, and then they want to take the benefit of what they worked hard for. So the demigods work for many lifetimes, sometimes, in order to get the post of a demigod, such as Indra. It says that to get the post of Brahma, you have to perform your varna and ashram for 100 lives perfectly. Quite a bit of patience you require. And then if you get the post of Brahma, you decide, well, maybe I should just give it up. Big deal, 100 lifetimes of working. Just give it away. But Lord Krishna is lamenting because he only has one objective, sarva dharma and parichaya. Because he knows that the only thing actually beneficial for the soul is to be engaged in his service. Everything else is external. Therefore, yanti deva vrta devam pitri yanti pritri rataha putani yanti bhuteja yanti majyajino pimam. Those are words of the worship the demigods. Certainly they go to the planet of the demigods. But antavanta pulam tesham tadbhaval yopamedasam. Such gain is only temporary. Antavanta Phalam Tesham Tadbhaval Yapamedasam and Alpamedasa. Such temporary benefits are only desired by Alpamedasa, those who are less intelligent. If one is going to get 100 million euros, well, we would appreciate that. But if we're only going to get 100 million euros for 100th millionth of a second, it wouldn't be a very big gain. Similarly, compared to eternity, Lord Brahma's life of 311 trillion, 40 billion years, is quite insignificant. It has no real significance. Lord Mahavishnu is lying down in the ocean of Garanadakashai, the causal ocean, and he's breathing it out since time immemorial, and every time he breathes out, the universe is created, universes. When he breathes in, all the universes are destroyed, and this is going on since time immemorial. So many Brahmas are coming and going, and therefore, it really has no significance. Even if one gets the post of Brahma for 311 trillion, 40 billion years, it's an insignificant time duration. And what to speak of the life of a demigod, which is only a fraction of that. And what to speak of our lives. Therefore, if one utilizes one's time to get some temporary benefit in the material world, it's considered to be shrama eva hi kevalam, a waste of time. On the other hand, if one can get something permanent in the short duration of life we have, then it's a great opportunity. If you can trade in some broken pieces of glass, as Dhruva Maharaj said, and get a priceless diamond, it's certainly worth the trade. So to utilize our temporary existence here and engage in Krishna service is certainly beneficial for the conditioned soul. Therefore, Krishna is coming in his form of the incarnations of as amongst the demigods. He has to, that's why he incarnates there, to satisfy their desire. Whether it be Vamanadeva trying to satisfy Indra's desire to get back, or actually Aditi's desire to get back the kingdom of heaven for her sons, or other incarnations, such as in Brahmaloka, we have the Haranya Krishna in the form of many, many heads. But they're there to satisfy the demigods. But we know Ramadi Murtishu, Kalani Amena Tishta, Nanavataram Akarud Bhuvaneshu Kintu, Krishna Swayam Samavat Paramat Paramanyo, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahang Bhajami. Specifically significant are the incarnations that come and show, instruct us by Leela and instructions of what the actual purpose of life is. So, I guess tomorrow is Lord Ramachandra's appearance day. Is that right? It's his appearance, it must be his appearance day. So, Rama is the first one, Rama is the first one mentioned by Lord Brahma, Ramadi, Adi, and the rest. Because especially when Krishna comes in the human-like form, that it's especially instructive for us. Because we can take advantage of it and learn. First of all, Lord Ramachandra shows the activities of an ideal king. Now, amongst the kings, or the Kshatriyas and the Brahmins, these are the two essential classes in human society to actually make the human society a human society. Without Kshatriyas and Brahmins, human society becomes disarrayed and misdirected. Andaya tandira bhagimanaste pisha tantra uru dhamivara ite vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu. People don't know that the goal of life is to obtain Vishnu or Krishna. And therefore it's up to the Brahmins to instruct people by their example and by their teachings what the goal of life is. And Tevidu Swarthakatim Durashaya Ye Bahir Arthamanina. And the Kshatriyas especially are meant to make sure that people don't get involved in useless activities, that they're gainfully employed so that they're actually making some progress. The idea to tolerate the modern government, people can do whatever they want as long as they pay the taxes, is not very good for the government, and obviously it's not good for the society either. Neither there is clear direction what the purpose of life is, nor is there any restraint from acting against the purpose of life. So therefore, since in Kali Yuga there is no Dharma and there's no liberation out of the four paramarthas or the goals of life, there's only economic development for sense gratification. Therefore, the so-called, well, there are no persons actually espousing Dharma, so that economic development is according to the laws of nature, according to Krishna's desire. It is not that all economic development is good. As we can see, improper economic development is very harmful for everyone. Prabhupada said they've polluted the air, they polluted the water, they polluted the food, and therefore there must be war. So it's not that people can do whatever they want and everyone will live happily ever after, like in a fairy tale. If you want to find out what the results of sinful activities are, it's very easy. You can read the Srimad Bhagavatam or you can read the newspaper. Both are equally illustrative of what happens when you don't follow the instructions of Krishna. But people are hoping against hope that somehow or another we can create a fool's paradise, we can violate all the laws of nature, and everything will be fine. We'll live in heaven. So Lord Ramachandra comes, and in one sense he shows the perfect ideal character. So it's not just power that people are supposed to obtain. The real goal of life is to obtain perfect character. And a person with perfect character, he can actually help others. Otherwise, if our character is not perfect, then whatever we do is not good for ourselves or anyone else. So Lord Ramachandra, he showed perfect character. At the same time, his associates also showed perfect devotion. Normally, when a person is exiled, for instance, Lord Ramachandra was about to be enthroned as the king of Ayodhya, and everyone was very happy, glorifying him. There was going to be a big festival. I'm sure there was going to be a big feast also. Everyone was quite content. And then the next day, he was asked to be exiled into the forest for 17 years. 17 years? 14 years. So normally when people hear that this popular figure, everyone was glorified, was going to get a very important post, has now been banished into the forest for 14 years, then most people just say, well, let me find someone else to get alliance with. But we find Lakshman, Sita, they all became completely, they didn't lose their loyalty to Lord Ramachandra, but they displayed it in a perfect way by following him into the forest and serving him even in the forest. And indeed, others who met Lord Ramachandra in the forest, well, whether it would be Angada or Hanuman or Vibhishan, they became pure devotees of Lord Ramachandra. Only Ravana and his class of men opposed Lord Ramachandra, simply out of envy. There is no need for Ravana to steal Sita. Only out of lust, anger, greed, and envy did he do it. And therefore, Lord Ramachandra was obliged to not only vanquish Ravana, but even his whole family. So we find that the demigods here, they're taking shelter of Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, to get some material benefit. And indeed they'll get their benefit. in the same way that everyone gets benefit, because everyone is actually praying to Krishna. We cannot help but pray to Krishna. Our very desires are prayers to Krishna. But if one doesn't know how to properly desire, then his prayers will actually be not beneficial for oneself or anyone else. We can pray for so many things, and Krishna will answer them. As a matter of fact, the Bhagavatam is even there as Nigama Kalpatura Galitam Balam Pibata Niga Shukamukha Baba Samritam Pibata Bhagavatam Amalam Mahura Mahura Rasikaras Bhuvikaha Nigama Kalpa Taror Galitam. So Kalpa Taror, a desire tree. Whatever we want, we can find in the Bhagavatam. Everything is there. And if we read the Bhagavatam, we can find out, we can go to heaven, we can go to the, visit the Pataloka, we can live in Nagaloka, we can go to the spiritual world. Everything is available. If we understand things properly and do what's necessary to get there. But there's clear direction. But the lives of the demigods are also illustrations of what not to desire or what we should be desiring. Because we'll find out Vritrasura, who's a great demigod, who's a great devotee of Krishna, ultimately he shows that he's a greater devotee than Indra is. That he's absorbed in Krishna's pastimes, and the whole story of King Chitraketu is there, and how he was cursed by Lord Shiva, or by Parvati, to take birth as a Shudra, and somehow or another Krishna arranged it, that he'd be killed by the demigods and go back to the spiritual world. So Krishna is using all of us in so many different ways to fulfill his desires. But he would like the final fruit of pure devotional service to appear in his, as the final result of his educational system called material existence and spiritual education. He liked people to graduate. Krishna doesn't like, as the supreme spiritual teacher, that everyone has to take the test over and over again. He'd like a few pupils to get out of the school and do something gainfully, do something. So, we'll celebrate Lord Ramachandra, and we'll see there are so many pure devotees who engage in his pastimes, and they're illustrations for us. There is something for us to remember. And there are such interesting stories. A little bit, in one sense, we may miss the educational part of it, and just get absorbed in the stories, and may not even take the stories so seriously. There's all kinds of fantastic demons, and even when Lord Ramachandra is fighting with Trishira, the Rakshashas, they weren't little people, they were like, if you were a small Rakshasha, you were 6 meters high. And some of them had 3 heads, some of them had 10 heads. Some of them had amazing power. And to see Lord Ramachandra display a little of his power to kill the demons is quite encouraging, especially for the devotees. So all around the world, Lord Ramachandra's pastimes are glorified. Even if you go to places like Thailand, you'll find there are temples dedicated to Lord Ramachandra. Of course, they have their own interpretation of the Ramayana. But still, we can see how I think it's in the Thai airport in Bangkok. You'll see that they have a huge model of the demons and the demigods churning the ocean of milk, with Korma there, and we have Mount Meru there. So Lord Krishna's pastimes are quite popular all around the world. And especially his pastime as Lord Ramachandra is especially is especially popular because he shows how to create a kingdom, Ram Raj, where everyone is happy. That's what everyone wants. Unfortunately, they want Ram Raj without Ram, which makes it difficult. They want heaven without following the principles of Lord Ramachandra or Krishna. So that's not possible. And indeed, that lesson is there for Lord, for Ravana also and his followers. They had a kingdom made out of pure gold, but because they defied Lord Ramachandra, and they even tried to steal the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, which everyone in the material world is trying to do, by the way. It's not only Ravana just trying to steal Lakshmi. Everyone is trying to steal the material energy and enjoy it. It's just that you get noted and you get into the Ramayana when you do it in a bigger way than normal. Especially if you were formerly a gatekeeper, you happen to fall down and you have immense power, then you can show how big a demon it's possible to be. But otherwise, all the little demons get usually unnoticed because their attempts to steal from Krishna or Lord Ram are so insignificant, no one really cares so much about it. But when we see a big demon with big power, big opulence, big intelligence, and then he only has one little tiny fault, he's against Lord Ramachandra, and see what happens to him, then we might learn that this little tiny fault that we forgot Krishna, or that we're trying to imitate Krishna, may not produce, well, produces very inauspicious, unwanted results. Of course, we're not going to have our 10 heads chopped off because we only have one. But even one head getting chopped off is quite disturbing. So, the moral, the final conclusion is, Lord Ramachandra has wonderful activities and his pastimes are full of every single kind of mellow. There is romance, there's ghastly rasa, there is friendship, there's servitorship, everything is there. And even there's so much lamentation, as Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion, that Lord Ramachandra, he grew up and he was the favorite son of Dasarath, but then he had to go and fight against demons when Vishwamrita came. And after killing the demons, then he came back and he had to undergo some tests and he gained Sita. After gaining Sita, then when he was about to be coronated as the king of Ayodhya, then that's very next day he was banished into the forest for 14 years along with his wife and his brother. And he met so much obstacles in the forest. So many demons were trying to kill them. Finally, his wife got kidnapped. He fought a war he found Varnas and they fought the war with him. He gained Sita back after destroying the kingdom of Lanka. And then he has his wife put into fire. His wife passes the test and then eventually he banishes his wife into the forest. A pregnant wife. And then after the end of that, then she disappears into the earth. So, it appears that there's so much lamentation. So many people are getting killed, so many people are being banished into the forest, into the earth. So many things are going wrong all the time. So it seems very pitiable and lamentable. But actually it's ecstatic. Prabhupada said, otherwise why is Hanuman continuously reciting the Ramayana? It was so depressing. Do we think Hanuman is like a masochist or something? Just to torture himself, he keeps on hearing the Ramayana. But in Krishna's pastimes, it's all transcendental pleasure and bliss. Although it appears, from our point of view, lamentable, but actually it all produces viraha ecstasy, the ecstasy in separation, which is even more intense than the ecstasy, vipralamba seva, and samboga. Even more intense than samboga is vipralamba seva. So it's full of ecstatic feelings about Lord Ramachandra and his devotees, and therefore by hearing it, we can actually feel some transcendental happiness. Otherwise, why would people who are not even devotees, practically speaking, take pleasure in hearing the Ramayana continuously in all different cultures? Because it's something spiritual. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Generally, there are not so many questions, pastime stories. Usually the question is, can you tell us another story? Anyhow, it was nice being here. Thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you all again. And I think Manu Dharpuru is coming today, so he'll tell a lot of nice stories, I'm sure. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.